But brothers and sisters, we welcome you to this service today. As you could probably tell, we're in the Christmas season, and there's so much to learn from this. And we pray that God will inspire us and open our hearts and our minds and our eyes to see the wonders of God. Now, we know that season, right? It's Christmas season, and we're shopping, and we're doing this and that. And last week, we talked about in the Psalms where it says, be still and know that I am God. But I'm going to go a little deeper than just being still, because we're going to be active. We want our minds and our hearts to be active. And I want you to use the mind that God has given us and the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So, Father, before I even start this sermon, Lord, I ask for your insight, your wisdom, your mercy, your love. Let us see you in all of your glory. We thank you for this time, Father. We thank you most of all for your Son. And we ask that you bless this service in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, if we're being still to know God in this Christmas season, we still want to do things. It's not wrong to go here and there and go to Walmart, go to Sam's, go here and there, your Christmas gifts, wherever you go. What is it that you want for Christmas? All right? I remember as a little boy, and now as an old man who's still a little boy, I used to sing the song, what I want for Christmas are my two front teeth. Well, I've expanded my wants over time. For now, all I want for Christmas is not only my two front teeth, but Lord, I appreciate you if you give me those on the side as well. Amen? Any of y'all ever been there? Well, if you haven't been there, you'll get there sooner or later. If you live through it, right? God is good. He even helps us when we have false teeth. And even when our grandkids see our teeth and say, what's that falling out of your mouth, Grandpa? Well, you'll see one day. And God wants us to enjoy every facet of life, even when we're old and gray and wish we could be gray, but we're bald. The life that God has given us is in Christ. And that's one of the things I want to talk about today. What does Jesus want for Christmas? You say, now, Pastor, I know you have really flipped your wig. I know you don't have a wig to flip because you're bald, but you've lost it. What does Jesus want for Christmas? I submit to you that Jesus Christ wants something for Christmas. But it's not for himself. It's for you. It is a season of giving, right? But Jesus wants to give you something. But he also has something that he wants. I want us to turn to John 17, because I know you're skeptical, and you ought to be, of preachers and what they preach. I'd rather preach from the Word of God. And when I look in the Word of God, I see that Jesus want something for Christmas. So if you would, please, turn with me to John 17, verse 24. This will be our text. I mean, excuse me, I get a chance to read it all. So John 17 is part of your homework. Pastor has to work. You've got to work. All right. John, is that a good deal? Let's hear it. Amen. I didn't hear no amens. Nevertheless, I'm going to read on. John 17, and in verse 24, Jesus prays to the Father, because we need to read this to understand what it is. I know it's in the back of your mind. What is it that he believes that Jesus wants for Christmas? John 17, verse 24. I believe the answer can be found in Jesus' prayers, because if you want something, you pray and ask God for it. Jesus wanted something. He wanted it, I add, for Christmas. That's me adding that. But he wants something. And this is the Christmas season. What does he want? I believe we can clearly look at what he's asking for. John 17 and verse 24. He says, Father. He asked his Father for something. Father, I desire that they, speaking of his friends, speaking of his disciples, that they also, whom you have given me, may be with me where I am. Can you imagine that? Jesus is asking his Father for something, and it has to do with what we celebrate, and we call it Christmas, Christ's Mass. Because God did some very powerful things here. Not desire, the faith. Now, that shows love, doesn't it? Because he had made other friends. He had friends. He had disciples. We call them disciples. And he's praying for them. I desire that they also, whom you have given me, he's looking out not just for himself, not for himself at all. He's willing to sacrifice his life for you and me. And there's something to be learned about this as I read it, as we go through this, in our relationship with Jesus Christ, with our relationship with our brothers and sisters in Christ. I desire that they also, whom you have given me, may be with me where I am. You ever want some of your friends to be with you where you have read what God has planned for us in the future, that our children and our children's children and our neighbors, that we all be together before the Lord forever? What does Jesus want for Christmas? Jesus loves us. Jesus loves you. Yes, it's true. Even if it is in a little kid song. Yes, 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 Jesus loves me. How do I know? For the Bible that we're looking at and reading through today tells me so. Jesus loves you. This is what his Christmas gift or desire is. Jesus loves you and wants you to dwell with him forever in his glory. I know that's a lot to maybe memorize. I'll say it again. What does Jesus want for Christmas? Jesus loves you. Yes, he does. And wants you to dwell with him forever. So wherever he is, the prayer is to the Father. Wherever he is, he wants us to be there with him forever. Now, in a lot of situations, people are trying to get folks out their house. Got many, too many folks in here for Christmas. Guess what? Jesus wants you in his house. He wants to dwell with you forever. And he wants you, why? Not just to show up and show out. No. He wants you to experience the glory and the majesty that the Father gave him. Now notice this. The Father's blessed him, and now he's blessing us. That's the way it's to be. Jesus loves you. I want you to believe that today. I want you to take that in your heart and mind. Yes, Jesus loves me and wants to dwell with him, you to dwell with him forever in his glory. It's not just a place. It's about a person. It's about powers and gifts that God has given to his Son, that his Son wants to share with his disciples, his friends, his learners. We're all disciples learning. Isn't that wonderful to see the heart of God right there? That God, that Jesus Christ is not self-centered. Jesus loves you. He loves us. And he wants you to dwell with him forever. Because there's glory where he is. There's wonder where he is. There's power where he is. There's life where he is. That's why Jesus wants you to dwell with him forever. Jesus loves you and wants you to dwell with him wherever he is. We may be also. So what does Jesus want? The answer is he wants you. He wants all of you. He wants you to love him as he loves you with all of his heart, all of his mind, all of his soul, and all of his being. Never forget that. No matter how bad your circumstances may be sometimes, you can know that Jesus is with me. Just as Jesus was with the Father, he is now with the Son, and he now dwells with us and in us. And he wants that. that intimacy, that closeness. Jesus loves you. He loves me. Isn't it a wonderful thing that God could love me, a sinner, and you, a sinner? We wouldn't want sinners up in our house. Oh, get them folk out of here. God, can you bring us some better folks? You know, can't you go on the other side of town and get us some better folks than these folks? No, no. He loves us just as we are, but he also has a secret. And that secret is the glory and the power and the beauty of God will transform our lives. He doesn't want us to stay the way we have been. He knows that his Father has the power and the glory, the beauty and the wonder to change our lives. That's what he wants. He wants that for us. We see that is what he spent most of his time praying about. Our salvation, our change. And amongst all of the sinners in the world, he chose us. And he's given us his life. There are those that God has given through the Holy Spirit to become like his son. Jesus wants us to be like him, become like him. Yes, Jesus wants us to be with him. See, they say that the folks you hang around begin to change your life around, some for the better. And that's what I preach, that through the glory of God, our lives, through Jesus Christ and all of his glory, would change our lives. Now, I can pick up a mirror. I should have brought a mirror up here. Mirror, mirror on the wall. Who's the loveliest of them all? Well, I didn't bring a mirror. I brought a glass. Jesus is the most glorious. And we reflect who you hang around, who you're going to become. We reflect the either the good or the bad in other people. So be careful about your friends. They may be cool, but they may bring death. They may bring heartache. They may bring and take you someplace you don't want to be. I'm just saying, I know I'm off the subject right now. But if we see Jesus, we see him in a glass darkly, but it changes our lives. We want to become more and more like him. Therefore, that's what Jesus wants. Guess who's coming to dinner? Jesus. Jesus invites us to come and dine with him. We have the Lord's Supper, don't we? We'll eat of that a little bit later. And he changes our lives. I keep saying that over and over. What is Jesus? What is his desire? Is that we become more and more like him. That we be able to behold his glory. Why does Jesus want us to be with him? So that we will be like him. I'm hoping that we get that. Jesus wants us to be in the glory of God so that we can reflect that glory. And then we go from glory to glory. That means as time goes on, we become more glorious. That's right. Jesus was glorified by God. God has placed us in relationship with Jesus Christ so that we can go from glory to glory. Oh, I'd love to speak on glory. You say, well, what do you mean glory? What is the glory of God? The glory of God is the manifest excellence of God. God is excellent. He never fails to thrive. He is wonderful, glorious. He is better than anything that you can imagine. That's why in Isaiah 6 and verse 3, you see the angels crying, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. I mean, they just can't stop. Holy, holy. They're not saying, hold it, don't come in here. No, they're saying, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. You say, but what does holy mean? Holy means totally other than, never seen before. Wow! Holy means excellence. It means unique. There's none like you. Unique in a positive way. This glistening glass. I can say, holy, holy, it's this glass. And I got another glass over there that I don't want to show you. It is not extraordinary. It does not sparkle. I need to wash it after the sermon. Yes, I wash dishes. I can say, holy, totally other. I can turn back to the lights around me. And I can see reds. I can see golds. And I can say, holy, holy, totally other than my shoestrings. I dare not use this in my shoestrings. Totally other. Jesus is holy, totally other. In a positive sense. And he's called us to be with him and to live with him so that we will be holy. Holy is the Lord. For he wants his people to be holy. Totally other than. We don't do what everybody else does. We go beyond that. Young people, don't do what your friends do. Unless it's excellence above and beyond what you're doing. You want friends that'll take you higher, not lower. You don't need to be cool, smoking cools. Right? No, because it won't take you higher. It will take you lower. God wants his people to be higher. Well, you think you're better than others? No, because I'm the worst. That's why God can take me higher, because there wouldn't be no higher if I wasn't lower. You get it? He wants to take us higher. Glory to God in the highest. We're saying that at Christmas time. Again, Isaiah 6:3. Read that when you go home. Where they cry, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. We give him honor. And the saints shout and we praise him. You know, the heavens declare the glory of God. I sit here right now and I look over this screen and I see gold. I held up some gold strands here. Now, I want to take you higher. There's gold up in them there hills, right? Isn't that what the prospector said? I hung some on a tree. My wife's going to get me for that. I'm kidding. No, I'm not. Please, darling. But I look out, I see the trees. I see the leaves. I see the gold. And I see them sometimes in a way I never saw. The other week, we were out in the front yard and saw a few trees down. She said, honey, look at the golds there. Look at the golds. I thought she had some real gold for me. She said, no, the leaves. So I praise God for the leaves that are gold. They seem to be more brilliant and deeper this year. They're totally other than the ones that were there last year. Maybe it had to do with the weather. I don't know. But I know that's how God wants me to be. Holy, totally other than. Awesome. We follow from glory to glory. Never being the same. That's what God wants for you. That's why Jesus wants you to dwell with him. So that you and I and all of us can become more like him. You see, the devil has blinded, the scripture says, the eyes of the people. So they cannot see. Jesus says, come unto me, and I will give you life. Come unto me, and then you'll be able to see that all of that over there is just junk. I'm giving you glory. Glory. Open our eyes, Lord, that we may see your glory and desire to be like you. I want us to sing a quick little song here very well. I know I'm going on and on with things, but I want you to taste and see. Jesus says, you know, I'm your Savior. He says, come, taste and see. Taste and see that God is good. Come and taste me. I'm not just a bunch of talk. I gave my life for you. He didn't say, I'm a Savior. No, he died to save you and save me. There's nothing else. And he wants us to come and be with him. So that, you know, he can change us. You know, you have to worry and wonder about your friends. You're going to either be like them or they're going to be like you. Which one is it? I want us to sing this little song called Taste and See That the Lord is Good.
Sought the Lord, and He answered me and delivered me from every fear. Those who look on Him are radiant, they'll never be ashamed, they'll never be ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard me and saved me from my enemies. The Son of God surrounds His saints. He will deliver them. He will deliver them. give you everything. He'll give you everything.
Bless the Lord. I want us to turn now as we begin to conclude and wrap this up. I wanted to read about a man named John. We've been reading from his epistle. John was a very close friend of Jesus. And as we have been learning, Jesus loves you and wants you to dwell with him forever and ever in his glory. It's not just to save you, but you to dwell in his glory. He wants us to be glorious. And John, the epistle of John, the disciple with whom and to whom Jesus was the closest to. In verse 6, John, I want to read in 1 John and then verse 6. There came a man who was sent from God, and his name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning the light. So that through him all men might believe. It's not just for your salvation, but the light. Light does a lot of things. It illuminates, it changes, it transforms us. And light, the light of the world, is Jesus Christ. He himself, speaking of John, was not the light. He came only as a witness to tell folks and point them to the light. That's what this sermon is today. I'm trying to point you to the light, to the Savior, to Jesus Christ. Came only as a witness to the light, the true light that gives light to every man, every woman, was coming into the world. Jesus came into the world so that we could become like him. And though the world was made through him, he made it all. The world did not recognize him. I hope we will recognize him. He came to that which was his own. He became flesh and blood, and he came to that which was his own, a human being. Yet to all who received him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Wow. We become children of God. Children born not of natural descent. Talking about something much bigger and better than that. Nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen the glory. See, God changes us and converts us and transforms us so that we can savor the glory, so that we can taste and see that he is good. What you see is good. What you experience is good. You want that. And it stirs a desire in you. And that's why Jesus came. That's why Jesus wants to dwell with us forever. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. And we have seen the glory. He wants us not only to dwell in, but to see, to experience, to savor and say, wow, that's good. That's what I want for my life. And we begin to shine as lamps and lanterns. Jesus said, you are the light of the world. The light of the world. We have seen his glory. We've tasted of it. The glory of the one and only who came from the Father all the way to us, full of grace and truth. John testifies concerning him. He cries out saying, this was he whom I said, he who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me. from the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God, but God, the one and only, speaking of Jesus, who is at the right hand of the Father. And he has made him known. Father, we thank you for making him known to us. Father, I just ask that you would use this message. Speak to our hearts. Help us to see you. Help us to hear you. Help us to rejoice in you. And that we may bring glory to others. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. In Jesus' name, we pray for your salvation of those who do not believe, and that we live as lights to the world. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Christ the Lord. We're going to partake, eat of, drink of the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. So how is that, Pastor? I don't know how that is. Beyond me. But it's something that I see. It's something that God has done for us. Jesus gave his life for me and for you. And we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, for I received not just a transaction, but he's given his life for me. Greater love hath no man or woman than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. Jesus died and was raised. Again, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. For I received, Paul said, I believe this. I've received this from the Lord, what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he said, this is my body. I preach unto you this day. This is the body of Jesus Christ. I'm not saying that this bread will become the body. Literally, you're a cannibal now. No, that's ridiculous. But his body is well beyond flesh and blood, but it has the same effect. He gave his body. He lost his life so that we might live in the same way Jesus sacrificed his life so that we can live now. It's a wonderful thing. And it is glorious. It is glorious. And as we eat bread and we taste and say, well, that bread was good. Well, we eat of the bread of the body and blood of Jesus. We say, hey, have some. Taste and see that God is good. We want to share the good news of what God has done through Jesus' life, through his flesh and blood, will transform us. He will transform us. He will open our eyes to see the glory of the Lord. And we want it more than we want alcohol or sex, drugs, or money, or houses, or anything else. We will desire God. That's what Jesus wants for Christians. Transform human beings. Just as he became flesh and blood, bread and wine. That his life changed us. Transformed us, glorified us as we savor. That is, that, that's good. Oh, what a wonderful life. There's even a Christmas movie, I think, called A Wonderful Life. Well, that's nothing compared to the life in Jesus Christ that he gives us through his son, through the body and blood of his son. And we had, when he had given thanks, he broke the bread and said, "This is my body." In some way, in some spiritual way, we benefit from the body of Christ when we eat and when we drink of him. And we become more like him through faith and through the power of the Holy Spirit. He broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Remember him. In the same way, after supper, he took up the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant. A new covenant, and it's in my blood. It's not in animals anymore. It's in my body and blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." Remember him. Whenever you eat this bread and drink of this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. And we proclaim it. And we experience it. And we say, "Wow, God, what you've done, great is the Lord." So bless us now as we eat and as we drink of you, Lord. Strengthen us. Give us new life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And as we eat and drink, we will hear and sing and participate in, "Be Unto Your Name."
We are a moment, you are forever, Lord of the ages, God before time. We are a vapor, you are eternal, love everlasting, reigning on high. Jesus, Redeemer, mighty to save. You are the love song we'll sing forever.